The U.S. closes a Chinese consulate and accuses Chinese hackers of trying to steal coronavirus research. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The U.S. Justice Department is accusing China of working with hackers to steal trade secrets and targeting U.S. companies working on a coronavirus vaccine. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Sabri.
So the U.S. is pointing the finger at two hackers in particular. What do we know about them?
The Justice Department indictment says they're both in China. It says they work with the Chinese government to steal millions of dollars worth of trade secrets and intellectual property from companies around the world. Prosecutors say the hackers targeted U.S. defense and healthcare companies, including at least four American firms working on the coronavirus testing and treatment.
How successful were these hackers?
The indictment doesn't say, but the Justice Department says the hack could set back U.S. vaccine research or slow it down. And that's because the targeted companies now have to secure their research. They also have to be sure their data wasn't corrupted by the hackers.
Oh, wow. How closely were the hackers connected to the Chinese government?
The Justice Department says they got help and guidance from Chinese intelligence agencies, and they also hacked some democracy advocates in Hong Kong.
What is China's response? What do they have to say about this?
The Chinese embassy wouldn't comment about it directly, instead pointing to remarks from a foreign ministry spokeswoman. She says the Chinese government opposes cyber attacks, and allegations that China is using hackers to steal U.S. research are absurd.
All right, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The U.S. has also ordered China to close its consulate in Houston. The reasoning given was to protect American intellectual property and Americans' private information. A State Department spokesperson said the U.S. would not tolerate violations of U.S. sovereignty. China said it would take countermeasures if the decision was not reversed. Childcare is shaping up to be a big campaign issue. Former Vice President Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, announced a plan to invest $775 billion over 10 years in child care and elder care. In 2017, under the Trump administration, the child care tax credit was doubled to as much as $2,000 per child. But parents who have to go to work during the pandemic or may return to work soon are struggling to find help. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Megan Alexis has to make a difficult decision in the next few weeks: what to do with her five-year-old. She's a single mom, a school teacher in Indiana, and her district is reopening. Her daughter's is not. And the average cost of childcare in her state is over $1,000 a month.
You know, it's like $50 a day for 4 weeks. And this is not in my budget. This is not what I planned for.
For many Americans, the childcare system has always been a financial burden. And that was before the pandemic caused rampant unemployment, schools went remote, and daycare centers shut down. Nicole Mason is the president of the Institute for Women's Policy Research.
Some families, especially single mothers, can spend up to 30% of their income on childcare.
This could be one of the major issues of the upcoming presidential race. But until then, there are no easy answers for folks like Megan Alexis. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.9%. Dow and S&P futures are down in the 3-4% range, with the Dow future down 96 points. Today marks the start of Comic-Con, the huge comic and entertainment convention usually held in San Diego, California. Organizers would normally be expecting around 130,000 fans from more than 80 countries to attend, often dressed up as their favorite superhero or comic character. This year, the entire festival has gone online. It is the first time in Comic-Con's 50-year history that the in-person event has been canceled, Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
For starters, there'll be no fans in amazing costumes packing the San Diego Convention Center. Anyone can watch the panels and presentations for free, rather than having to compete to get an expensive day pass. There also won't be industry meetings. David Glanzer, the spokesperson for Comic-Con, says the event is as important for deals as it is for fans.
There's a great deal of business that occurs during the weekend of Comic-Con in San Diego. It's different, but we're, you know, trying to bring some of this stuff online. It's a new experience for us, but we hope it'll be as fun, but in a virtual format.
Things like this video are supposed to give fans a taste of what they would hear on site while they're watching at home.
Hello, everyone. So great to see you all. Please be careful when you're getting off the escalators. And from your security team, welcome to Comic-Con.
For some fans, that might feel like a letdown. But for others, like Samantha Nazario, it's an opportunity. She lives in Brooklyn. She couldn't have afforded the flights and hotel to go in person. She's looking forward to watching the panels and the events live online with her fan community.
It's super important, especially I think in these times, to be able to have that type of experience again, but to not limit it just to people who can afford it.
No people waiting in long lines to spend on food and merchandise means no income for vendors. Last year, 17,551 hot dogs were sold at the San Diego Convention Center. Emily Hummel is one of four creators of Con Rangers. They normally sell merit badges at a booth. Dedicated convention goers can buy them for $6 a pop to mark accomplishments like bumping into a celebrity or making a new friend in line. This year, that might mean making a friend in a chat room while waiting for a live stream to start. The convention's created an online marketplace, but for Hummel, it's not quite like being there.
It's gutting to think that it's not happening. And so I have to be like, okay, well, at least we're still going to have this little portion of it.
San Diego gets about $149 million in economic benefit from Comic-Con. For the convention itself, making the online event free to anyone means a big financial hit. It had enough saved to weather this year, Glanza says, but the future is uncertain.
We'll know more, I assume, as the months progress and we find out what the situation is health-wise, nationally and globally, because right now it still seems to be very much up in the air.
Comic-Con at Home runs through Sunday. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.